Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:02 p.m. on the East Coast, or better yet, 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, and it is 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is 5/14/2022, and happy Saturday to each and every one of you. You're tuned into the TNGS, the Michael Day Show, broadcasting live from ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And just now, I got a text from co-host Janet Davis about a horrible shooting that just occurred. It's breaking news. It just occurred in Buffalo, New York. And so I quickly went over to some of the media outlets. One of them was CNN. And now when I first looked, it said at least 7 killed. Then later I looked on another outlet. It said at least 8 killed. And now I'm looking at another one, and it says at least 10 killed. So this is, wow, this is horrible, this story that is coming, or these stories that are coming up. What CNN has said, well, let me go back here, I'm sorry, where did I see that story? Police say a suspect is in custody. Sources say officials are now reviewing purported manifesto in connection with the investigation. So, again, a shooting in Buffalo, New York at a Tops supermarket. The governor says she is closely monitoring the Buffalo shooting. And officials haven't said how many people are injured. This is one of those earlier stories. But what's going on? This is sad. Again, happening in Buffalo, New York. I'm going to open up a mic to co-host Janet Davis. Happy Saturday, Janet. This is Harlem News to start the show. Officer Crenshaw is on. Happy Saturday, Officer Crenshaw. How you doing, man? This is terrible news.
I know, man. I'm good. My daughter graduated from UGA with her BS in biology yesterday.
Congratulations.
I'm ecstatic.
I know you are.
Thank you.
All right. Congratulations.
I'm sick of all the shooting and all the killing that's going on, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it all has to do with the moral mindset and mentality of the man who started the big lie.
Yep.
I hate to say it, but everybody feels like they can just do what they want to do now.
Mm-hmm. You're not the first to say that. I've heard a lot of people say that same thing, you know, and it's not where we say that on the show. I hear people in different circles say the same thing. This comes from the man who told the big lie, especially when he said, I could stand on whatever street and shoot anyone and people would still vote for me. I'm like, wow. and folks cheered that.
I was gonna start the show off with a low joke about the big lie, but in light of what's happening in Buffalo, I'm not going to. I was basically gonna tell a lie and kind of spread it around and see if anybody can figure out it was a lie.
Right, right. Because that was the big lie. But and then we look at where they say that the person was taken into custody. And when I heard that, like I said, Janet had texted me just before the show and told me, have you heard about the shooting? I'm like, no. So immediately I went on the internet and here it is. And as they said, they have the suspect in custody. And I see now the board is filling up and, I got to open up the chat room. And that's the thing I wanted to ask everyone once everyone gets here. But I want to ask everyone this question. It's amazing that when these mass shootings happen, in many cases, the shooter is in custody. You hear some folks say, man, they should have blew his head off. How come he didn't get killed? And it's like, do you hope that the person gets killed, or would you rather them be caught so they can find out what was going on in this person's head? Of course, face justice. But should justice come in the court of law, or is justice kill them at the time of the shooting is what I'm wondering. What's everybody's thought on that? Let me let that marinate and open up the lady of the house's microphone, Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Hey, Janet, how you doing?
Hey. I'm sorry for the delay. My little dog decided he wanted to venture out more in the yard, and which he never does, but he decided to do that 5 minutes before the show.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm here.
We're glad you're here. You might not be glad I'm here, but we're glad you're here because I talked to Michael and Timon yesterday, Janet, and they told me that you really don't like when I chime in on the show a lot.
What?
I'm spreading the big lie.
I know they couldn't say that.
See, y'all don't know.
That's a big lie, huh?
Let's see how far it goes.
Okay.
I've said this before on the show. It's funny. I'll never forget. I learned at a young age how a story can be twisted so easily. There was a kid's show on back when I was a kid called Wonderama, and they played this game. They had six kids line up, and the host would tell the kid the story, and he'd pass on to that kid. And by the time he got to the last kid, it was a whole different damn story.
I remember that show.
Yep, Wonderama. You probably can go on Google and see some clips of it. They might have a clip of that actual little game that they would play. But that's reality.
No,
people do that. Now, the time it gets
Mike,
to the six.
Mike, that's been banned along with a list of books. That game's been banned along with, they don't want it.
But, yeah, I remember that. But, Janet, we were talking about, in fact, I was just telling Officer Crenshaw that you had texted me about this shooting. And when I pulled it up, well, when I looked at what you sent me, at first they said six were dead. Then it went to eight. Now it's up to 10. Yeah, it was seven, then eight. And now I saw on another site it said 10. In these situations, keep in mind, this was a grocery store. So for them to go in there, and some people might have been alive and may have succumbed to their wounds later on, and the count might go up for all we know. Correct?
Right. Correct. Well, they said this shooter traveled several hours to get to that store just to, commit this crime. He wasn't from the area.
Okay.
I'm glad he's alive because they're trying to find out why. What caused him to do this mass shooting?
That
but
was my
they're
question.
Already speculating it's because of, like, Fox News, Tucker Carlson, spreading all these vicious rumors and lies.
Now, who's speculating that?
That's what they were saying on the MSNBC.
Oh, okay, MSNBC. Well, you know that's going to be a battle between MSNBC and Fox News now, you know, because MSNBC say, oh, see, Tucker Carlson started that. Now, Fox is going to be getting on MSNBC for that. Tucker Carlson is going to come on and cuss out Fox. I mean, MSNBC. See, that's where all this shit starts. That's where it all starts. But it's interesting. I hope you can pull that up a little more information as it comes in. Let me open up another co-host all the way from Los Angeles, California, by way of East St. Louis. Say hello to Mr. Time and Chill.
Hey,
guys, how are you?
Great, how
What's up?
You?
Oh, you know, when I got my booster shot, I'm good.
Okay.
Was that your second booster?
Yeah, it's my second one. Yeah,
okay.
So, you know, happy of that.
I told Janet about the conversation we had about her not liking when I chime in on the radio show. So, you know, she's aware that me, you, and Mike already talked about her.
Yeah, you remember that? You remember that time when we talked about that?
Talked about what? What was that? I missed it.
When me, you, and Mike was talking. And, you know, y'all were telling me that Janet didn't like when I chime in on some of the topics and stuff, so.
Yeah, he went ahead and told Janet about that conversation.
Simon, he ain't saying a word. He's not even part of this. I told
Crenshaw, don't tell Janet, but he went ahead and did it. But you remember when we had that conversation.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he got good, and, you know. He did what he felt he had to do.
Yeah. I really didn't know that Janet didn't like when Officer Crenshaw chimed in. I didn't know that. Janet, I didn't know that about you.
So where did y'all get all this from? This is not April Fool's. This is May.
But,
what?
Janet, that's what Timon told me you said.
You trying to get Timon in trouble.
Timon's got dead air over there. He's like, I didn't say nothing.
That's right. That's why I know it ain't.
You know how it is, Janet. You know I don't bother nobody. I don't bother nobody, Janet.
Oh, hell. I'm sitting up here laughing, and I totally forgot to open up the chat room. Let me go ahead and just jump into that. Okay, so you guys, we have some topics we definitely have to talk about though today. But in the liner notes of the show, I put on the internet page I put this week, politics, crime, and stupidity. Pence, Depp, and Thug, meaning Mike Pence, Johnny Depp, and the rapper Young Thug. All of them, one way or another, are going to be part of the politics, crime, and stupidity section of this conversation. All right? And some other topics. You take a pick of which person is going to fall in those categories, okay? So, but first, I want to say, before we get into the other stuff, what show do you think is on TV right now that is the best comedy show right now? Now, it's only been on for a month, but it's been on for last week, but it's coming back on next week. See if anybody gets it.
Atlanta?
No, Janet. It's a comedy show.
I would say Atlanta. Well, I don't know. The only one that I think is new is the Atlanta show.
Okay. Well, it's been on for a month. It's off it's been off all last week, but it will be back on Monday around 9 or 10 a.m. No, okay. I'm going to let you know
now. You tell
him. The Johnny Depp Examination Trial. It's a comedy show. It is truly a comedy. I'm serious. It is truly a comedy. You know, now, I'm not going to lie. In fact, I've told you guys many times, I like court TV because that is a real reality show, right? Those are real cases, real criminals, real crimes. But for a month, we've been watching these two rich people battle it out over he said, she said, and some of the best acting is going on here. Now, in the first week, I watched a few. I ain't gonna lie, I watched a few of the, you know, testimonies and this and the other, you know, the question and everything. Johnny Depp is funny. See, now you got a little bit of comedy here in this. But Amber, oh, wow. If she's never won an award, which I don't think so. She should win one for this. They should have the Court TV Best Actor Award. And she should win hands down. Have you seen these clips of her? Have you seen these clips when she's testifying? And she's talking about clips of movies. It made me think about when so-and-so said that in the movie. It was like, what? And even Johnny Depp's attorney looked up at her like, really? You're going to mention the movie? And he did a fist clench like, oh, yeah. I've been waiting for this. Have any of you seen any of the clips or any of the highlights? This is crazy, this trial is. It is a show.
Lost interest.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch it. I'm saying I see the highlights. And to me, it's just a show. I love Courtney. But this would be on Comedy Central, to be honest. Go ahead.
Right now, you can't watch that because Johnny Depp doesn't know whether or not he wants to be a pirate in the Caribbean or back on 21 Jump Street. So it's no sense in watching.
Well, yeah, and as I said, when it first started, I wasn't glued to it. Like, yeah, I watched a few, you know, I listened to a little bit of it, and I said, yeah, this is crazy. Here's two rich people, you know, battling with each other. And as you guys know, last week we had Lyle Dixon, former attorney Lyle Dixon, and as he said that, you know, a lot of times in these cases, it's really hard for a jury to say, you know, this he said, she said stuff, to, you know, to decide. In a lot of, you know, time, especially when they're both guilty in a sense of something. So my question is, do you think, seeing that Johnny Depp is the one who initially put the charge and then she countersued, do you really think that they're going to come in favor of either one, or is this just going to be where the jury would be deadlocked. If I was the jury, I'd just be deadlocked and just say, hey, you know what? Or get it up, just, you know, this is nonsense. And when you see the people who camp out for hours to be in the courtroom, it's a soap opera.
Mike, even if he won, he has no money. It doesn't matter. They're not. There's no money. He's not going to gain any money from her because she has no money.
Yeah,
there's no way he's going to get $50 million out of her. Even if they gave the tipple, he, good luck with that.
Well, yeah, right. She doesn't have enough to pay him. That's true. He has enough to pay her, but because she countersued, right? But right, she doesn't have enough pay. But it's not like she's starving, right? She has some money, but not enough. I agree with you, Janet. What do you think? I think this should have been just thrown out. If they could just throw it out, and taxpayers are still paying for this, is what gets me. The taxpayers' money is still paying for this, even though. Right, you have to pay court costs if you lose in most, in fact, in a lot of cases, not all. You got to pay court costs as any other. But still, the taxpayers' money is tied up in this month-long, ongoing bullshit.
Yeah, it's long and ongoing, so I have tuned away from it because there's other things out there that are more important than to sit there and watch two people defaming each other.
Right. Wasting the taxpayers' money. I don't get it.
Well,
now, let's get to some of the clips. I don't know if you guys see them, but let's get to some of the clips. I just want to laugh real quick. You know, social media is blowing it up on her end. They're posting these shots. They show one shot where she was coming out of the witness stand, and Johnny Depp was walking towards that way with sheriffs around. And when she walked out, she looked up and she saw him heading that way, and she backed away in fear. It's like, really? You're that afraid of him? You got 3-4 officers standing there. You think he's just going to lunge at you? You know, he wasn't walking past him. But, you know, she's doing the acting thing. Okay? Then they show the one where she had the bottle of juice in one hand and a bottle of water in the other hand. She sets the juice down on the table. And in the bottle of water, she goes to unscrew the cap. Some gentleman comes down towards her, and a sheriff's deputy comes out of nowhere around. And when just in mid of unscrewing the cap, she starts to screw it back on and then puts it in her pocket. And then there's a gesture like, you know, look down her pocket like, I ain't got anything in my pocket. The joke is that she's got something in that bottle. I don't know if y'all seen that clip. Then here's the other one of where she goes to blow her nose or whatever the case, and people are saying, oh, she was snorting something. And I've seen comments of folks say, you can't snort cocaine in a handkerchief or a napkin or whatever. But then
you also can't have alcohol or anything in a bottle in court because anybody who's not drinking is going to smell it.
Well, I'm going to get to that point. Vodka looks like water. Gin looks like water. So if you got it in there, and even if it's diluted, it looks like water all day long. I don't know. I don't know. But that was that's what has been said. But it is kind of strange how she had a bottle of juice in one hand and a water in the other, sets the juice down and starts to open up the water, and then starts to quickly close it, just as the sheriff, the court sheriff was walking by, and she puts that bottle of water in her pocket. Why not just sit on the table? If you haven't seen that clip, it is kind of funny. It's kind of funny, like, you wanted water, but then you decided not to and just put it in my pocket. Juice can sit on the table, water in the pocket. And then the whole thing about the handkerchief, and I've looked at those clips, and I find it kind of funny. When you blow your nose, you wipe your nose with the handkerchief, right? Or the tissue. She blew her nose or whatever and then took her hand and wiped her nose. And someone said, did you notice a little white spot there in the corner of her nose? Now, I said, now, somebody could have doctored that up. They said, no, that's not doctored. But that's what I'm saying. This is a comedy show. It's really comedy. I take it none of you all have seen any of those clips. But if you get a chance, take a look. It is funny. All right, so let's move on to these other topics before I bore you guys to death. Wish you luck, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. If you guys get through this. Okay, so Mike Pence is coming to Atlanta, Georgia. Former Vice President Mike Pence is coming to Atlanta, Georgia to campaign for Governor Kemp. The person that former president, though people like to still call him president, former president, Donald Trump, despises Kemp. Isn't that kind of interesting? The former president despises Kemp because he blames Kemp for what had happened in the election, in the voting. He blames Kemp, and he blames Georgia, really, and what's his name, the official, for not cheating. Let's just be honest, for not cheating. Find some votes, right? But Pence is coming in. Janet, what did you say that Kemp said? I'm sorry, Pence said. He's not part of MAGA? Okay, I lost Janet. Janet, is everybody else still there?
I'm here.
Okay, I lost Janet. Let me see. Okay. All right, here she is. She's back on. Oh, hold on. I opened up the wrong mic. I apologize. One moment. Well, she was here. Excuse me. There she is. Hold on. Let me open the mic again. Okay.
Okay. I was waiting for you to open my mic back up. Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear what I was asking?
You asked me about what did I think about Pence.
Yeah, I'm saying what was it, you were saying something about, yeah, what he said, that he's not part of MAGA. That's what Ken said.
Right. So that means he actually broke away from Donald Trump, you know, because, you know, he's been in the doghouse ever since he didn't throw the election in president, you know. So I guess he's, you know, who knows? Pence might be trying to run for 2024.
Hmm. I heard one thing.
We don't need a win.
Hmm. Okay, we'll see. You about to say something else, Chris?
I heard Pence was putting his name in for the presidential campaign for 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And since he wouldn't do what they wanted him to do, all the Republican voters that was following Trump, that didn't like the insurrection, they'll run behind Pence. They basically, it's a strategy that they're using to try to get one Republican or another to run against Stacey Abrams. The problem is with the Abortion Act and all of this other stuff going on, they're pretty much screwed.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much screwed because it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or whether you're Democrat. If you're a woman, somebody's taking control over your body now.
That's right.
You know, and you don't, they're not trying to over, you know, change a law or create a law that's going to take control over our penises. So, you know, why are they trying to do it for them? That doesn't make any sense to me. If all the women would just stop, just tell the men, look, you want me to have a baby? I'm not giving you none. You have a baby out your ass and see how it feels. I'm not doing it.
Well, you know, I mean, I look at it where, which I'm going to get into something else, but, you know, that abortion rights, that is a very touchy subject for a lot of people, right? There's some folks that said, you know, that's murder, that's killing. Okay, well, I mean, we
Mike,
murder
you know
and kill.
From?
Uh-uh. go ahead.
You know, Alito put that thing out, right? And you got to look up where he, there's a guy by the name of Matthews something, from back in, I think, the 1700s. This is how the Salem witch thing went down. All women
right.
that were not having sex or were widowed, they were considered them witches. You were expected to have sex with men. You didn't have control over your body because you were going to what they said you were going against God. And they transferred that psychology all the way to where we are today. I don't care what book you read, I don't care if you're Muslim, I don't care if you're Christian, whatever. It is about male dominance, period. All of this is. Who wrote them all? White lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
These are the same lawyers from years back who told you that you were 3/5 human. These people, same folks. And now, they've always wanted to control. Was it wrong when Thomas Jefferson slept with Sally Hemings? Was that rape?
But why do they even still think that way today? I mean, when you get in trouble, the first thing you scream is, call my mama. When you get hurt, oh, mama, mama, but you ain't got no respect for her. So these old men doing this shouldn't even be thinking that way.
Right.
Well, you know, when Texas did what they did, I felt that was totally wrong because it was all men making this decision. I felt like that's not right. I truly feel like that is wrong. For them to make the decision for a woman.
Michael, can I say something?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Officer Crenshaw when it comes to, like he said, if women shut it down, you know, I bet you men will have a different attitude towards trying to pass these crazy laws.
True.
You know?
They need to
not just protest. But go on strike.
Mm-hmm. And for me,
it's
like
it's connected to religion. All of it is. Every time you turn around, it's connected to religion. It's not connected to just one thing. You know, they say that they want, you know, we should save the children. Well, look at our foster care system.
Mm-hmm.
And how many black kids are you trying to save? How many Latino kids are you trying to save? Okay? How many little young girls out here getting raped and molested and whatnot, are you trying to save them? But yet you tell them you can't make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you're bothered by critical race theory. You're bothered by the gender process that's going on. He says he's transsexual. You're bothered by that. You can't be what you want to be. If I just came out and said, I just want to be alien, I don't represent anything, I just want y'all to leave me alone. I'll pay my taxes and leave me alone. That would bother them, Mike. Don't nobody, they don't want you doing nothing if they can't control it.
All them women that Trump's got at his golf course that he's enhanced all those other politicians with that he's got something on, they all ought to come out and say they're transgender. And now all those old white men that done been with all of them will be freaking out. Don't get me wrong. I've seen some beautiful, beautiful transgender women, you know.
So have I.
Not knowing you would go straight ahead. And even maybe knowing you would go straight ahead. It all depends on what's in their heart. You know, but I guarantee you with the mindset of those politicians that's been, you know, hobnobbing and all of that at the golf course, because Trump's got to have something on them. You talk about
let me intervene on this for a minute, because here's and a lot of folks say, well, Mike, you know, you host the show. You should just let everybody say what they got to say. No, I have to say something about it. And whether you like my stance on it, that's not important. You know, not for you guys, but whoever is listening, of how I feel about it. I have a son, and I've shared this before, that a certain individual tried to get my son's mother and I, or tried to convince us to have an abortion. Well, obviously we didn't. But at the time, we were young. We were only 18. You know, we were living on our own and everything. We had a conversation about it. And to be honest, at that time, I told her, I said, well, I really would love to have my son, but it's up to you to make the decision. Now, somebody fought me. What do you mean it's up to her? Because she's a woman. She has a choice. At the time, she had a choice. Does she want to carry a child for 6 months? See what I'm saying? I have to respect her, too. Now, if I was hardline, like, oh, we're going to have this child. But we had a long talk about it. She said, yes, we'll have it. Okay. But in my opinion, it's this way. I can't tell people what to do or not to do. And the thing is that where, for me, I go back to where the rape or the incest and this, that, and the other. And as Timon just said, look at all these kids that are in foster care, you know. Who's helping them? They don't have a home. Who's going to raise these kids when they become kids? If you force a woman to have a child and she can't keep, you know, she can't afford to raise the child, who's going to raise them? You understand my point? Who's going to do it?
Well,
that's a really tricky question there, I think, for a lot of people.
They said the same thing on MSNBC that I said a couple of weeks ago or last week, that it's basically set up and designed for the adoption, because one of the senators, Republican senators, made the comment that, you know, the law for women to have a baby and drop them off at the hospital anonymous is still in effect. So basically it's feeding full of children for people who can't have children or can't get access readily. Your adoption fee field is increased now.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the minority children are not being adopted as fast as the Caucasian children. And most of these red states who are trying to do this abortion and shut everything down so that women will have kids won't even allow Medicaid or food stamp programs and things that are for less fortunate people to help raise these kids. They don't want the free food programs in schools for lunches and things like that. They just want people to have babies. Don't care how you have to take care of them. Don't care if you have to, you know, pay for a doctor and all these other things or try to get food for them. They just want you to have a kid. And then
look at where school is about to let out. You know, a lot of kids across this country depend on their meals from school to eat, and when school is out, they have no food, and they want to cut the food programs from the schools. And then I'm going to go back to what Timon was saying. Okay, when it comes to foster care and effect, I mean, and adoption, how many children are out there that are waiting for to be adopted in their teens?
Far greater.
In their teens.
For minority. Mm-hmm.
The numbers are growing. And not many are taking these on these young adults. And everybody applaud the celebrities who adopted, I'm going to say it right out, you know, especially the white celebrities who adopt a black child or who adopt an Asian child or whatever. They applaud them. Oh, that's so sweet. That's so kind. Look at there. There's more than just one child out there that needs to be adopted, and that one is not the poster child for all the others. But that's what happens. So, I'm just trying to understand what happens if this goes through. Jenna, you had looked at something here of was it Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas?
I sent you an article, Justice Thomas, saying how the leak affected the Supreme Court justices. The leak that just came out recently about the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I said he has a nerve,
I'm trying to find it.
If all people, they had him had an interview with him, knowing what his wife was doing during the insurrection and before and after.
Well, let me go ahead and run this article through real quick. Just read a little bit of it. And says Justice Thomas says leaked opinion destroyed trust at the Supreme Court. In remarks at a conference in Dallas, he also denounced the recent – oh, here we go. This page always does this to me. Oh, I'm sorry, you guys. Hold on. It's not going to let me read it.
What?
I'll have to look it up. Yeah, I think the link that you sent me. Oh, this is – okay. I'm going to go ahead and pull it up on my laptop. Because on my phone, that link, what it does, it wants me to subscribe. So I'm not going to.
It's your time
that.
To subscribe.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do that. I don't need to do that. Let me pull that up. But anyway, as I do that, I'm sorry, guys, for this interruption or this pause here. But can you just elaborate on that a little bit of what you really do? I kind of pull up the article.
Yeah, I was trying to pull it up. 1 second. Yeah.
Okay.
Justice Clarence Thomas says that the Supreme Court has been changed by the shocking leak of a draft opinion earlier this month. The opinion suggests that the court is poised to overturn the right to an abortion recognized nearly 50 years ago in Roe versus Wade. The conservative Thomas, who joined the court in 1991 and has long called the Roe versus Wade to be overturned, described the leak as an unthinkable breach of trust. When you lose that trust, especially in the institution that I'm in, it changes the institution fundamentally. You begin to look over your shoulder, and it's like kind of an infidelity that you can't explain, but can't undo it, he said while speaking to a conference Friday evening in Dallas. The court has said that the draft does not represent the final position of any of the court's members. The Chief Justice, John Roberts, has ordered an investigation into the leak. Thomas, a nominee of President George H.W. Bush, said it was beyond anyone's imagination. How, I don't know. But before the May 2 leak of the opinion to Politico, that even a line of draft opinion would be released in advance, much less an entire draft that runs nearly 100 pages. Politico has also reported that in addition to Thomas, conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, Samuel Alito to override Roe versus Wade, a 1992 decision. That is something that they've been wanting to do ever since they put all these new Supreme Court justices in court.
Well, what do you think about? I mean, but what do you think about Chief Justice Roberts? Because he's not well liked by that many Republicans. Some of them don't care for some of his decisions.
Right. Well, maybe that's why he wants to thoroughly investigate this, because he's trying. We all knew this was going to happen. Ever since they've been passing these different laws in Texas, Mississippi, Tennessee, all these states, they've been passing these laws to overturn the abortion rule.
Let's see what Timon has to say on this.
Well, This is all connected. You can't get away from our history, you know. I mean, you figure
right.
They signed the Civil Rights Law, what, 1964? Voting Rights, 65. Lovey Act, interracial marriage, 67. You know, I don't know what they plan to gain by sticking their nose into abortions. Because if someone they were sick, what do you think of it? They ask me, what do you think of the abortion issue? I don't. It's none of my business.
Yep.
You know, I think a woman should have a right. Plain and simple. I know people that, well, what if you were having, she was pregnant with your child? There again, she said she might say, I don't want to carry a child. You know, and especially if we didn't plan it and it just happened. Planning is one thing. If you both got together and said we plan to have a child, that's different. But if we
right.
out end up messing around and you end up getting a baby and she starts thinking, well, I ain't ready to have no child. And then, you know, I look at my life and say, hey, I ain't ready to have no child. Because taking care of a child, as you all know, for those of you who have children, is a 24/7 job. It never stops. And it never gets old.
That's right.
That will always be your baby. Look how old they get. Mama, daddy, you know, that's your child. But if you and that man get together and say, hey, or if that woman's been raped, or that, you know, maybe she was a prostitute, or maybe she was a drug addict, or maybe the baby's going to have all kinds of issues, and they don't want to go through that. But you're going to say,
you will have one
stop
anyway.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We're going to make you have the baby anyway. Then when the baby get here, then you don't want nothing to do with my ass. You don't want to talk to me? Well, hey. How about all this help you're going to get? Well, now you're on your own, you know. And like I said, everything is connected to religion. Everything is God and God this and God that. And I don't want to, I wouldn't try to insult anybody on their religion and what their thought process mm-hmm. is, because that's the freedom we have of living in a democracy. But at the rate they're going, because everybody doesn't like people to do things differently, they're going to destroy it. And it's going to be, and let me tell you how it's going to be done if they do it. It'll be the same way that Mao created China. He wanted peasants to do his dirty work. The same way the rich plantation owners got the poor-ass white folks to do their dirty work. And put the blame on somebody. That's why they always tell you, oh, your problem is that the immigrants are coming. Well, I thought you cared about it. So if they come over here, you don't want them to have no baby. But you just told me you want them to have abortion. So which is it? Oh, they're stealing from them. Well, you don't even want to pay the people that's here. So why are you worried? But you want that cheap labor. But you can't have it both ways. You can't go out and get government loans and start businesses, but you don't want to turn around and pay the people after you've made your billions of dollars. These men have, you got three guys that have more money than 200 million people. How sick that is.
Yeah.
You
know what?
Got $270 billion.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought.
And guess what, Mike? We got poor people who want to hold the pail for him, who are constantly wanting to pick up the bucket for the rich guy, kiss his ass. I've seen it even on our level. I've seen guys that, you know, because the dude's got money, they kiss his ass. And even though he don't even ask for it, because they think it's going to get him something. It's crazy.
You know, when you were talking a moment ago about you brought up critical race theory, and I got to think about all the different things that have the word theory, right? I hope you follow me on this, right? You got, you know, the theory of this, the theory of that, theory of this and that and the other, and people study it. You know, it's taught in schools, all kinds
what?
Of theories, schools that are, you know, schools of theories and everything. But the moment you put the word critical in front of it, and when you look at what it's about, folks are afraid. They're afraid of that theory.
But my,
I know you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, but
and
it's not
I find
even
that
going to regular high school. They're going to
right. I find that interesting. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that there's a fear of this critical race theory of being taught or discussed. But it's
well,
only
that's how
the
guy in Virginia
truth.
Won. Remember that, Janet? The guy in Virginia
yes.
won because he talked about critical race theory.
Right.
It's interesting that, you know, you have all these things that are theories. It's not facts. It's just a theory, a thought, something, you know, we can talk about. So is it because the word critical is in front of it that is so scary when it's talking about...
No, Mike. It's not that. Because we can't discuss. Because if you open up a door, let's think about this.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, now, Jen, do you remember what did we just sign? We just signed the what? Anti-lynching law.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what that law
yes.
is? That law is hundreds of years old, and they call it the Emmett Till law. About a,
right.
what was he, 13, 14?
Right.
Mm-hmm,
he was 13, 14 years old because he whistled at a white woman and you found out she lied. Can you imagine, Mike, if we open up that discussion, where are we going to go? Into
right.
a deeper mm-hmm. rabbit hole. You don't want to go
plus,
down that hole.
Plus,
but you know what's so interesting about
girlfriend.
That? But here's the interesting thing that you mentioned that, okay, is where my understanding of the law, and it should be everybody else's, is that, you know, there's a statute of limitation for certain crimes, but not for murder. And even if you are an accessory to the murder, right? If you're an accessory to
right.
the murder of an innocent person, or, I mean, it don't have to be a thing of if they were innocent or not, but if you're an accessory to a murder, even though they went through the court case and those two men were found not guilty, and then they did an interview with Life magazine and admitted that they killed him. But double jeopardy, right? So they couldn't try them again, and back then they wouldn't have done it anyway. But here she is now. She only had to testify. She was not at the time an accomplice per se. She was not on trial for the murder. But she is an accessory to the murder. And I don't give a damn how old you are. The law doesn't give a damn how old you are. Little Whitey Bulger, who murdered folks over the years, and in his 80s, I guess it was, they found his ass and convicted him. She's an accessory to a crime because she lied, which caused the death of another, which the law says. If you are the cause of the death of another, you are just as guilty as the person who did it, right?
Right.
So
now,
what?
But you
what?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I'm done.
I'm sorry. I'm chewing. You go ahead.
But what I'm saying, isn't that, I mean, wouldn't you look at that as like, oh, wait a minute. They should have reopened that case, which they already know what happened, but they should have charged her. I don't give a damn how old you are. I really don't.
Right.
If you were involved of a murder of an individual, especially for lying, and you come and admit that you lied, Statute of limitation does not is not when it comes to a murder. There's no statute of limitations
well,
of
so,
murder.
So why? So, well, she didn't commit the murder. She told a lie.
No, but she's an accessory. Well, that to me, I would think that is an accessory because you, based on your statement, your sworn statement, because I'm pretty sure they had to interview her. And she swore that this is what happened. These are the facts of what had allegedly happened, which brought those two gentlemen to commit the murder that they did. See, it all started with her. You got to remember,
right.
It started with her. It wasn't no conflict with that little boy and those two grown white men. It started with what she allegedly said he did. She is an accessory to a murder due to her lie.
But see, Mike,
there's no getting around that fact.
No, but you got to look
so
at
how come? Go ahead.
But this is what I was going to say is that there are so many cases out there like that. But the fact that they had to call an anti-lynching law. My thing is, there were people that voted against the anti-lynching law, Mike.
Yeah.
Tim Scott voted against the anti-lynching law. He got into a debate with Cory Booker. They didn't want this law to be passed. The fact that I have to even write up something to keep a white dude because they – now, remember, everybody's mad at Donald Trump for what he said, right? But he told you who he was. The only thing was he made you blame Hillary. He said Hillary is the thief. Hillary is doing blah, blah, blah. But guess what? It was him. All it was the switcheroo. And white folks, if you look at our history, whether you look at a Reconstruction, whether you look at from the 20s, 30s, 40s, Mike, from 1870 to about 1930, they lynched 5,000 black people.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those people went to jail for those crimes. They burned black people at the stake.
Yep.
Right there in your state of Georgia. Blood on their hands. Then go on down to Florida. Go on to Texas. Hell, they wanted to kill the woman for coming up with Juneteenth. But if you look at our history, I enjoy history. But I think we should know the truth. But they're not going to discuss the truth with you. I don't care how many facts you got. They don't want to open that door because they know it's not a pretty sight. And then let's go on down and what you did to the Indians. And then we can go on over there and find out what you did to the Chinese.
That's
and
right.
And the Japanese.
Yeah.
But that main person, what the black man has on all of them and the black woman has on all of them, they were hooked at the hip with that white boy and that white woman. They built this country. That's the problem that they have.
Well, here's the thing that I was, you know, I have to say this, and you know, I have some folks, and I'm just being honest, who say, man, you guys be talking about a lot of racial stuff and everything. Well, it has to be discussed sometimes and somewhere. And to any of my white friends that are listening, we're not talking about you personally, okay? We're not talking directly to you, but we are talking about facts and truths, because there's a lot of stuff that we should know as black people, and some of us, in fact, many of us learn a lot of stuff through these conversations, and we invite you to listen in and hear this, and you can look it up. You can research it. We're not making this shit up. You can research it.
It's not in our school books. Right.
It's not in the school books. It's not in the school books. Don't trust the school books. Right. It's not in the school books. Because I've said this before, when I was growing up, when I was in elementary school, we knew about slavery, but it was like we wanted to come here. It was like they didn't tell you the truth. The only time I ever knew what slavery was really like was when the movie Roots came out, the long version of Roots, where you could visually see this stuff and how slaves were treated. And that's a movie. And it really couldn't touch on it was a television movie, so you didn't see the actual horrors. They didn't show the burnings of bodies. They didn't show, you know, the different ways people were killed and tortured. You
it was
got the
Alex
soft
Taylor.
Version.
Right.
You had the soft version of what slavery really was like. So, you know, that's what I saw until I became an adult or earlier in my late teens, and I started seeing more images and hearing more stories. That's the reality of it. So I'm just putting that out there as we discuss these things. I want to move on to our next topic. I know we got a whole hour left, but let me see, Janet, you had, and again, thanks to Janet Davis, who does a lot of the, I won't say a lot of it, basically all of the research of the topics that we have here on the show. And of course, I put my two cents in, okay, from time to time. From time to time, I put my two cents in. Let's see. Well, we know about the Buffalo shootings, but Chicago had two in a single day.
Three.
Okay, I saw two on here, but okay.
Yeah,
three.
But when I went back and looked, I sent you another article. It was actually three.
Okay.
They said.
Okay, so that's sad enough in itself. But before I get into, in fact, I don't even want to go into that one. What I want to go into is real quick, and then we'll move on to the next one. I forgot we wanted to do a follow-up on the runaway Bonnie and Clyde. Now, they didn't rob no banks. They just broke out of jail. Okay? They didn't rob any banks. They had money. Sold a house for less than market value. Happened to have the same last names, but were not married or related. You know who I'm talking about. Was on the run for 11 days. An inmate and a sheriff, male inmate, female sheriff, or deputy, I should say, planned one of the best jailbreaks ever. Because why? Trust on both ends. She trusted him. The police station trusted her. And they walked clean out of jail. Ain't that amazing?
Yeah.
Now we found out. Now I want to say this, and I said this to Janet, and I want to just put this out here, and then you guys let me know what you think. So when they went on the run, okay, the first thing was, oh, he abducted her on the way to where they were going. He kidnapped her. This is what's going on the news immediately. No way she could have been doing what she was doing, right? That was the whole thing. Then they started investigating her more, looking into it. She done sold her house. Well, she already put in for her retirement. And then sold her house below market value. Okay. Now, she's a suspect. Oh, now we see where this happened and this happened, and we see where this car was dropped here. Oh, okay, now, yeah. She's part of it. Taking them 11 days to figure this shit out. Okay.
They kept
but then you
the
got
vehicle.
People who felt sorry for her. I'm saying this for a fact. I saw where people were like, you know, for him to, you know, to brainwash her and convince her to do that, it's sad that she fell for it. And she, look, she's a criminal. She knows criminals. She planned and plotted the whole thing because he can't do a damn thing behind bars. He can't make a phone call and, hey, yeah, I need to rent a car. Hey, I want to sell this house over here. He can't do that shit. She did all that. She was the mastermind. She was the mastermind.
Now, Mike,
true enough, he probably gave her some tips on how to do things, but she had to be the one on the outside to make it happen. Go ahead, Tom. Go ahead, Tommy.
Now, Mike, this is not new. I've had women at my job get conned by 17-year-olds.
Mm.
I've had this happen. I mean, where here it is, 25-year-old young women are being manipulated by a 17-year-old criminal to the
Hello.
Point they're willing to risk their lives to him, to the point that they're sleeping with him, that they're forming oral sex on them. and Latino, Hispanic and black. Now, mind you, that sister or that Hispanic babe or that white girl is working with a guy. You're working with grown men who get a check every 15th and 30th. You don't want them. You want this boy here. Now, your girl that was out there, she was a widower. Now, whatever he was selling, she felt it was better than what those guys in there was. Because, see, they get to feeling sorry for him. Every mass murderer, Mike, every serial killer has a group of women who want to marry them. They had the woman, I don't know if you knew, out here in California, chick was a top lawyer and made partner to a firm. She fell in love with the leader of the Aryan Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And represented him and married him in jail. And you ask yourself, well, what is this dude selling? And I don't know. Remember, that's that bad girl. I mean, that girl, that middle class or upper middle class girl or whatever girl it could be that loves that bad boy. Oh, he's so dangerous. You know, who is it? What's my man's name? The Night Stalker. He loved the women loved him, and that white woman wanted to marry him. And so they brought her down there, and they did their vows. And she said, "Well, can you open the cell so I can kiss my husband?" Oh, woman, no! Oh, hell, no! No, he ain't. That's why he in here.
Yeah.
But choking the hell out of people. So he said, like he sneezed, right? He sneezed, and she said, "God bless you." No, God bless you. No, you never say God bless you. I said, and you just married this fool, and you can't even you sneeze and say God bless you, you end up and get killed? What is wrong with y'all? I keep telling you, Mike, we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We are in trouble, and it's coming.
You know?
And this is all over, and it's going to be from them just breathing air. It's going to be.
And
just,
I'm not surprised. You know? I'm not surprised of what you said about this isn't the first time. This is, well, it's not the first time it's been glorified in the media, because this happened before, not to the extent of this one. Every one of those stories are kind of different. This one was very different in its own way. But I believe what you said as far as here's 20-something-year-old, prison or correction officers falling in love with inmates and getting convinced to do this, that, and the other. But once once you give in to the inmate, you are now a criminal if you do something, that is against the rules. You are participating. And as they say, ignorance is no excuse, right? You know better.
Mike, they had to stop the women over in New York because the correction officers, the black females who were correction officers, the prisoners was knocking them up.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting the women pregnant left and right. They put their ass in jail too, because it's against the law to sleep with criminals. You can't do that, because you're putting everybody's life in danger for your own sexual orgasm.
But that's kind of funny to me. I wonder. I'm sorry to laugh, but this is funny. I wonder how many of those women correction officers had husbands and boyfriends at home and screwing around with a murderer somewhere on the prison game.
I had kids tell me at my job, "Hey, sir, give me 20 minutes with her. She real weak. Just let me have 20 minutes." These are kids, Mike, 17 years old, hitting on a 25-year-old girl and couldn't clean out. She'd be buying brand new Yeezys every day. She'd be buying Kanye shoes and everything. And we just, then this is where probation is going anyway. But, hey, they could do it easily.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Hispanic and black.
Right.
Hispanic and black. They all have done it. They love them tattoos. They love the thug life. I love him. They send their daddy. All of it. And you sit back and you go, you did what?
Come on, girl. All that funk boy got down there in his room and all this that he doing, and you this is what you want? I told him, I said, this is what we do. I said, put her in there with him. You got to have him so bad. Yeah. Put him in there. Put her butt right on in there with him, and y'all enjoy eating that mystery meat and that dried up oatmeal and that old waffle. Have fun.
Well, you know what they call it? Well, they call it shit on a shingle. You've heard that term. What is it? That ground? That ground beef mixed up with mashed. Potatoes. They call that mystery meat, shit on a shingle.
Yeah, they say, what's the mystery meat? It's a mystery. Don't nobody know what the hell it is.
But you better eat it because you may not get nothing else.
Hey, ain't nothing else coming. Hey, when you done, they going to be telling you, know, cause boy, I got hemorrhoids. Yeah, you been eating all that crap. You sure do.
Okay,
but
so speaking of
it's amazing that people... This is where they've gotten to, you know. This is people,
right.
Like I said, I've seen white girls, black girls, staff. I mean, these are staff. You know, you have more female staff getting hooked on the male staff, on the male minors, than the male minors going after the kids. Because they wouldn't, guys wouldn't do it. Because they know.
Mm-hmm.
They know they gonna get the book thrown at them. Now, what they did with the female staff, they would just tell them to go away. Look, either stop doing this and leave the job, or you're going to do about five, 6 years in prison. How you want to do this? And they give it
okay, up. So let me switch gears since we mentioned the name Thug, and I'm trying to see if my desktop is going to act right for me. Let's give me a limited access here. Let me go ahead. Okay, so rapper Young Thug was recently arrested and indicted for criminal activity. This is the stupidity part of the show I look at. He's worth $8 million. It may not sound like a lot of money compared to a Beyonce or a Jay-Z, but you a rapper and you got $8 million. Your net worth is $8 million. But you still are dealing with the criminal world. And now you've been arrested. Tied with individuals under your label who have been indicted for murders. Right? Violation of the RICO law. I mean, is that not stupidity? Is that not stupid? This is what you want to be, but you still let your association with the criminal element stay part of your life, and now you're behind bars. You got six kids. You got six kids, top of your game, billions of fans, but you still got to stay in the criminal world. That's basically what I see when I read these stories about Young Thug, whose real name is Jeffrey Lamar Williams. He's 30 years old. And he's looking at doing some time right now. What's your take on this story?
Well, you see, Mike, you can take the brother out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the brother. You know,
good point.
And, you know, and my dad said you can, you know, brother can move into a mansion, be still driving his car up on the lawn. He ain't learned shit. And even though they got all that money,
drive, he still got that long ass
drive car right up in the yard.
And a four-car garage, but it still got to park it on the grass.
Right.
Good point.
And wait a minute, and barbecue in the garage. Don't barbecue in the backyard. They barbecue in the driveway. I mean, in the driveway or the in the garage, so they can see who comes. Because they
and everybody
care,
can see
always looking over their shoulder.
Hey, Officer Crenshaw, I have to jump off for a minute. I brought him back in. Welcome back, Officer Crenshaw. But that's
hey,
true.
Hey,
talk.
Hey.
That's true. And it's sad at the same time. This young brother is he's got a fan base like no other. And then here he is still involved in the criminal element. I know, and I think I shared this a few years back, Janet, I think you remember, where I was telling you about a guy named Ray Ray Brown when I lived in California, my home.
Yeah.
And Ray Ray was very intelligent, very smart, married a woman a little older than him, had a nice, beautiful home. But he had two drug houses. But he was smart. He kept the people that lived in his two drug houses were underage, right? They weren't 18 yet. So if they got charged, you know how it works, Officer Crenshaw, wouldn't be charged as adults for, you know, having possession. But Ray Ray was very well known. And when they finally caught him, I believe it was in Detroit, the man had over, I think they said something like $70,000 or $80,000 worth of jewelry on. Keep in mind, this was back in the 80s. That was a lot of money. Of jewelry on. Just jewelry. Okay? Not the money in his pocket. They just said it's jury. But then when they interviewed some of his teachers, they said Ray Ray could have been anything he wanted to be because that's how intelligent he was. He knew how to make money in various ways outside of drugs. But look at these guys who are drug dealers, some who are popular rappers today, rap about when they used to deal drugs and got out of the game. But this guy, Young Thug, is now dealing with, you know, a lot of stuff that I don't know if he's going to be able to get through it. Here's another part I want to say, though, that is interesting. They traumatized some of the lyrics of his songs to some of the crimes. And if you get a chance, go ahead and look it up. I want to try to upload some of the lyrics. I heard them real quick. And I couldn't get him to upload right away. But he said something in there, and I'm just going to say this kind of like not verbatim, but I didn't kill the guy, but I had something to do with that body. And then they started investigating where, you know, this and the other. I shot the guy in front of his mom and everything. And so they're going to use some of these lyrics because they're saying that it's very close to their investigation. Experts said, haven't really seen many cases like this, but there have been some where the lyrics and the timing of the lyrics and the song was right at the time of these killings. You follow me? In some cases, they were able to tie it. Some they tied it, and later on they had to throw it out because I think it was, is it the person? Amendment, right, freedom of speech.
First Amendment.
Right, First Amendment.
First Amendment. Freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech. But
yep.
They said, but if you are able to, it's not saying that you can't, that it can't be used. And the thing is, it's up to the judge. If the judge allows that in, that's one thing. If they don't, that's another. But the judge allows that in. That can sway the jury, in a sense.
You've had so many rappers and musicians who were singing about their lives. I actually had a rapper who, in one of his songs, put a hit out on me. And wanted people, he said he was going to kill me. He asked people to try to kill me. And the DA wouldn't prosecute because of First Amendment and freedom of speech. You can say what you want, but until you act upon it or until some type of evidence is proven that you have acted upon it or had knowledge of an action mm-hmm. of it, they won't go near it. But if you have evidence,
that's not considered a threat. But let me ask you this, if you don't mind sharing. How did you know it was directed towards you, if you don't mind
my
sharing,
name was
in the list? So he said your name. So they could not look at that as a threat, as a physical
because
threat?
You got so many musicians that are singing of expression of either anger, frustration, whatever the case might be. You know, and that's a feel. We had a sergeant with the police department who made an expression at the mayor, and the mayor at the time was Shirley Franklin, that, you know, the way she was treating us as police officers made him feel like he just needs to smack her in the head with a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Of course, they
it's the wording. It's definitely the wording, right, how you say it. Because, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want you to finish. But the only reason why I'm saying that is because it makes me think that had the rapper said it in a sense of where I wanted to kill that motherfucker, or I should have killed him, or I'm going to kill him, right?
Right. It was more.
That's a different way of saying the wording, right?
He needs to be killed by me or by, you know, insinuating. And an attorney has a hit out on me, but the DA refused to prosecute it.
Okay. That's interesting. The wording does make a difference. I think if you would have said, like you said, he needs to be killed, that's saying something that, in his opinion, had he said, we going to kill, that's a direct threat.
Right.
And a threat.
Right.
So the wording. So the prosecutor was right. Unfortunately,
the funny thing about it is, ten years down the road, me and him became cool with each other because he realized I wasn't the type of cop that, you know, he thought I was based on an incident that happened. Once he learned all the facts about the incident, he was simply expressing his anger through his music.
And how long ago was this? And have you been in touch with him since? And what is he doing now?
No, I haven't been in touch with him for about 10 years now. So I have no idea what he's doing. I don't even know if he's still around. You know, I know his father owned one of the restaurants in the neighborhood, and his father passed away, so I'm not sure what happened.
Well, hopefully he took up his father's business and got his life straight and got out of the game. Wow, crazy. Yeah, well, again, I want to go ahead and tie this up on Young Thug, but what's your guys' thoughts about this, though? As I said, Young Thug is popular, has 8 million dollars, which ain't bad net worth. And now, you know, he's looking at doing some time for staying with this criminal element. He has an individual who they have indicted for murder on his label. What's your thoughts about that? I mean, and why do these guys stay in the same type of crime element? They should have learned from Jay-Z and the rest of them that said, you know, that admitted they used to deal drugs and this and the other and got out of that once they started getting their fame in music. What makes you think this is going on? And I think we've already talked about this a little bit, but Young Dolph, these guys who have this jealousy. I saw on the first 48, which was sad as hell. This has been a few years back, but I've seen a rerun of where these kids in school having beef and making songs about each other and then killing one or the other over jealousy. And that is sad in the black community, that that's what makes you popular, to be tough and threaten each other. Janet, do you have something to say on this? Take yourself off mute. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go to. I see this person's been sitting here on the board for a while, and they haven't opened up their mic. So if you have a question or comment, 216-780. You're welcome to hit the number one, and I'll open up your mic so you can respond if you choose to. Let me see here. Simon, well, you deal with the youth. Do you have anything to say as far as that goes?
Can you hear me, Mike?
Well, Mike, you got to look at that. You know, the it happens with all things that where the millennials are going, what social media does, what's important to them. You know, I don't know if you saw the beautiful black girl from Southern University who committed suicide. They had a picture of her. I posted it on Facebook. She was 19 years old in college. Mm-hmm. But said she'd been dead on the inside for many years. And she ended up having tearing up her ACL. And she ended up from tearing up ACL, she went into a complete depression. And then she put on social media that she was going to commit suicide. And she did it. And then, you know, also, they tell these guys, tell them to stay out of certain neighborhoods. But guess what? You just heard about them. There's a couple of football players been shot because they were in these domestic situations, but they were in the hood because that's what they're used to. That's where they're from. They go back to where they're from. I always say for those of us that come out of the ghetto and move forward, a lot of them who you don't hear about, Mike, and people don't talk about it, about hitting that wall and all of a sudden start to regress and go back to where they came from. They start acting like the way they came from. I saw it in my own family. My brother went and found a home in Denver, Colorado that looked like East St. Louis. The area looked like it's called Globeville. And I looked at it and I said, hey, man, this is East St. Louis. It had the house with the cars lined up in the driveway and the weeds and the, you know, and the dog that was tied to a tree stump, and he'd sleep up under a car. He'd come out, bark one time all day, and then go back under his car. You hear nothing else from that damn dog. This is East St. Louis. And you have more people. When you see these rappers and they're doing what they're doing, that's all they know. You can call them the most highly intelligent. Yeah, they can count. But they got to make a choice to want to change. And if their daddy's in jail, one thing I've known, If I get your father, I'm going to get the son. Okay? If I lock father up, I'm going to get that son. And a lot of those black boys that come from single-family homes, they say, well, how did this happen? Well, that was by design. Because a lot of brothers, they were right. Black folks was getting married back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. But they also, as time changed, you know, that white dude could come home to his family with his welfare wife, but black folks weren't allowed to do that. That was by design. So a lot of these kids didn't have the things that they, and once they get that money, Mike, they don't know no better. Of course they're going to pay three. Can you imagine walking around with $80,000 worth of jewelry around your neck just because you can? And then you brag, and then you mad. Then guess where you go to brag about it? Back to the hood.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go
because
the rich don't do that. The poor folks,
they don't
do that.
Right, they don't wear their wares like that. And I'm gonna have to shift gears, but I learned a while ago. I've observed, and you guys probably don't realize this. I've seen people, I know people, who got plenty of money. They shop at Walmart. They shop at Target. Now they got some nice ass clothes in their closet at home. They going to dress all flashy and shit out in the public just so you can recognize them. See what I'm saying? There's a difference. They're not going to show you that they got money. If they go out to a special event, a dinner, a black tie affair, that's when they wear their best shit. But every day, they don't do that. They look like you and me. In fact, sometimes they might wear holy jeans. Because they're too afraid that if they look rich, they're going to get robbed. But unfortunately, which is sad to say but true, we want to show that we got money. We go to the store and I see young men come and buy stuff and they'll pull out a wad. And when I say a wad, I'm talking about a slinky of bills. You know how a slinky look, right? A slinky of bills. And they peel it back, pull out hundreds of stuff. It's like, man, you carry that much cash on you? You're showing it all. You don't have to do that. Get a bank account. Get a debit card. Get a damn cash app. Something. But don't show it off, because you will get robbed. I have to switch gears here because we're at the 7:31 point of the hour of the show.
Hey, Mike.
I definitely want to. Who's that?
Oh, this is 216.
216. Okay. Victor. Yeah, your mic is open.
Yeah. How you doing this evening, man?
Okay. Who's calling?
This is Victor. You had opened my Victor. Mic up a while ago.
Yeah, okay.
But I had some stuff going on, so I didn't want the background noise to interfere with the program.
Appreciate
but,
that. I'm
enjoying the conversation. A lot of what I heard, I completely disagree with. Going back from the time you started. Say what?
I said I'm sorry that you disagree with what we're talking about. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, as far as the opinions, I disagree with the opinions. I think the topics are good. somebody just stated about the father being removed from the home. About all this being done by design. Now, I do agree with that by 110%. It was done by design. And it started in the 60s under Lyndon Baines Johnson's with his Great Society program. And one of the things he was quoted as saying, give them just enough to keep them quiet, not enough to make a difference, and you'll have those niggers voting Democrat for the next 200 years. I ain't too crazy about either party.
Okay.
But I think that a lot of our problem in our community stems from the fact that we have given too much allegiance to liberalism and leftist progressivism, which undermined everything. Because if I remember correctly, because I was in a conversation with you right around the time Tolliver passed away.
We were in a conversation right around the time when Brother Lynn Tolliver passed. True.
Right. So what I gathered from that conversation, you know, you and I are around the same age. And so one of the things that I did learn in coming up and, you know, learning both sides of the story is that there was a concerted effort, and it's being manifested right now, to destroy us as a people. Abortion was one of the agendas. Immigration, especially illegal immigration, was another part of the agenda to destroy us. The miseducation of the Negro, which liberals in the teachers union flip out when they talk about allowing black parents, which more than 60% of black parents in this country want school choice for their children. You know, when we talk about, there's just a host of things. We look at the entertainment.
Yeah, there's
industry.
The government itself, right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it was all designed to destroy us, man. And I'm saddened to hear so many people saying, you know, this, you know, what they did, what the feminists did back in the 70s, they were very crafty in the way that they crafted the language about abortion, woman's right to choose and all of that, because they had to change the language from abortion rights to pro-choice simply because they knew the overwhelming majority of people in this country were opposed to it. But what I see on the landscape, and I'm going to say this and then I'll have to mute myself, but is that surprisingly enough, a lot of our people are beginning to wake up. You're finding more and more that more people are starting to see this issue of abortion just for what it is, and starting to see the LGBTQ movement exactly for what it is. If you want to know, really want to know what it is, go read Michael Swift's letter. All you have to do is Google it. Michael Swift's letter. Everything that man said they were going to do is what they're doing now with this LGBTQ agenda. I don't hate people because they choose to have sex with someone of the opposite sex, I mean of the same sex, but by the same token, I don't want it forced on me, and people don't want their children being taught this stuff by their school teachers when they're secretly telling these kids not to go home and tell their parents what they're teaching them. This is insanity, and unfortunately, too many of our people are blind to it. But
what's the guy's name again that wrote the book?
It's a letter called Michael Swift.
Michael Swift.
The Michael Swift letter. Yep.
Okay. Michael Swift.
We'll take note of that, and hopefully everybody will, because the thing is that I appreciate you, Victor, chiming in and sharing that, because we do have, you know, we have some time, and I like when folks chime in, and that's what we do. We talk about what's on our minds, so I would definitely look that up, Michael Swift, and then next week, we will talk about that, what everybody got out of it. But when it comes to abortion and everything, when I look at according to, and I'm not saying that this is definite facts, but according to a poll that I saw, that something around 30% of Americans want it overturned, or 70% don't want Roe versus Wade overturned. That's an interesting number. Now, I don't think the government, either way you flip it, can make it where it's 70% the other way than the way it is. You know, it's an interesting thing.
You gotta understand how they're crafting the, when they ask the question. There's a certain way they craft the question when they ask it. So I mean,
yeah,
this is
true.
What they
and
do
how many people
they
are they
all polls.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna
and you have to look at I agree with you. Where are the polls taken? You know, how many people are they asking? What states? You know, that's a good point to look at. On any poll, you know, I always would say, well, who are they asking? Are they asking, you know, all black, all white, half and half? Yeah, polls can be tricky. And who is taking the poll and who are they polling? So, yeah, that's a good thing. Thank you, Victor, for chiming in. I appreciate you coming on and sharing with us, and love for you to keep chiming in to the show and share your opinion. I want to quickly, not quickly, but I want to move gears and get into another conversation that I think is very important we need to talk about. When it comes to transparency, I think this story here is not transparency. I don't know if you guys have heard, but I'm going to give you a little bit of the story. I think the town is called Ravenel, South Carolina. This is an update. Stephania, a dancer, and her two daughters died in a crash on a Savannah highway. The identities of the three women who were killed in a collision with a deputy's vehicle in Ravenel on Sunday night, May 8th, by the way, which was Mother's Day, have been released. The fatal crash was reported on Savannah Highway near New Road at around 11 p.m. It was reported that Deputy Emily Pelletier, I believe that's how you pronounce it, was responding to another accident when she was involved in a crash with another vehicle. The three occupants of the other car suffered fatal injuries in the crash. They said injuries. The deceased parties were later identified as 53-year-old Stephania Danzler, 28-year-old Tanise Danzler Williams, and 22-year-old Miranda Danzler Williams. Stephania was reportedly the mother of the other two victims. Ongoing investigation into the deadly crash is underway. I read a lot more of the story, and unfortunately I pulled up an article that didn't give much of the story. I'm going to pull up this other one, but I'll tell you what I do know. Allegedly, this deputy was responding to a report, and she was going down one highway, and she T-boned the driver's side of the vehicle of the mother and the two daughters. according to the report, her lights were not on. So it's just like anybody, just like fleeing the cops, just come through an intersection. But she's an officer. Unfortunately, the mother and the two daughters died. The officer was injured, and she was able to go home. The police department, or the chief of police, press conference, and so did a representative of the family. The question is, how come her lights were not on? Because according to this story, once the body cam is activated, the lights to the vehicle, the police vehicle, is supposed to be activated. Correct me if I'm wrong, Janet, you could look at that part, but that's what I saw in the story. That didn't happen. So far, the police have not released whether the lights were on or not. They have not said anything in response to whether the officer was intoxicated or not, because they didn't do an intoxication check on her. Because I feel like anytime there's a officer-involved accident, there should still be an intoxication check on that officer. Because I've seen too many videos of where officers are intoxicated on the job and get arrested by other officers in different jurisdictions or the same. Officer Crenshaw, are you still there? I hope so. Okay, so I just want your point of view now. Then when I saw the video when I saw the chief of police speak, it was more in defense of her officer than anything else as far as telling the facts of what happened and what they know. She shared of how the family's mourning. She went to visit the family. They cried and this and the other. We prayed and everything. Okay, that's sugarcoating to me. That's bullshit sugarcoating. Watch it. Pull it up. You're not telling us why did these three siblings, mother and two daughters, this family, get killed by a flying through an intersection. You're not telling me that. And that's hurtful to me. And they're not releasing any of the, well, it seems like there's no dashboard or no body cam to it. You have anything to respond to that, Officer Crenshaw? Are you aware of the story?
To a certain degree. Body cam, I'm trying to figure out how the body cam was on and the sirens were not, because they're not linked. So anytime there's an accident involving a fatality,
mm-hmm.
you know, toxicologist reports, you know, breathalyzers, all that blood test is supposed to be done on all parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To determine if anyone was under the influence of drugs, alcohol, or anything else. When there's a officer-involved accident involving a fatality, independent investigation from an outside agency other than that department, because as officers, we're supposed to have each other's back. So even my chief stepping up, speaking out for me, you know, doesn't make it right, and then he's got to back up when the investigation comes out that I was wrong, because it's going to come out. Now, accident reconstruction, when they look at the point of impact on that vehicle and determine where the patrol car struck that vehicle, where they were at in the street, all that will determine who was at fault. So just like me and you now, me being retired, if I'm driving down the street and I hear a siren, I start to look for lights. If I don't see freaking lights, I keep going. I figure, hell, they're around the corner somewhere. So they can't say if the lights were not on that car that the people who passed away were at fault because they didn't yield to an emergency vehicle, because that emergency vehicle is supposed to use due care no matter what.
Uh-huh.
Going to a call, chasing a car, hell, you got to use due care going to lunch. You can't run a red light going to lunch, but they do it.
Okay. Janet Davis,
so
you still here?
No,
go ahead, Officer Crenshaw. I want you to finish.
No,
I just want to see if Janet is still here.
All that will come out, and the family, I hope they call for an independent investigation from an outside agency. We have the GBI. I don't know what North Carolina has as far as, you know, their federal investigation unit, but you had three people who got killed in that accident. It should be thoroughly investigated. If
okay.
those were my family Jen. Members, I would want to know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with Officer Crenshaw. It should be a thorough investigation and not just take one person's word on what actually happened. You know, because the youngest lady, she had just graduated from college, you know, and her whole life was in front of her, and now it's been snuffed out. So I just hope they continue and do the right thing by a thorough investigation.
Now, do they know
okay.
the race of this family and the officer?
Yeah,
we know we're
well, well we're I'm going to give that to you right now.
In the Carolinas,
I'm gonna
right
give
now.
You that, I'm gonna give you that information right now. South Carolina mother, two daughters killed in crash with deputy on Mother's Day. The incident occurred around 11 p.m. on Mother's Day when a deputy was responding to a call and crashed into a car, killing a mother and her two daughters. Charleston County Sheriff Christine Graziano spoke about what took place during Sunday's crash that involved one of her deputies and took the life of a woman and her two daughters. According to Sheriff Graziano, on Sunday, May 8th, around 11 p.m., Deputy Emily Pelletier was responding to a call of a driver who had broken down along Highway 17 and needed assistance. So it wasn't a major emergency. As Deputy Pelletier traveled to assist the driver, 28-year-old Shanice Danzer Williams was traveling south on Highway 17 with her mother, 53-year-old Stephania Danzer, and her 22-year-old sister, Miranda Danzer Williams. Both vehicles collided, and all three women died at the scene from their injuries. Let's see.
Well, from what you've just said, Mike.
Okay. I'm just going to finish off a couple of. I want to finish off just a few more of this here. And so it says Miranda Danzler, which Janet had just said, Williams had just graduated from Cleveland University with a degree in criminal justice the day before on Saturday, May 7th. Isn't that crazy? Pelletier was mm-hmm. injured and treated for her injuries. She is now on administrative leave. The South Carolina Highway Patrol continues to investigate the crash. Sheriff Graziano shared that she had spoken with the mother and grandmother of the three women, who said they were a close family, inseparable, and did everything together. Quote, the family is heartbroken. We are heartbroken. They are devastated, and we are devastated. They are relying heavily on their faith and their love for one another to get them through this, Sheriff Graziano said. On Monday, we prayed together, we cried together, and we tried to find peace, and not sure we did. This is what the sheriff said in her press conference, okay? The problem I have was that's all she said. She didn't say what route this investigation was going. That's the problem.
Not going to. Not
right.
going to.
She didn't share nothing about the whole thing. She
the
didn't say, well, you know what, we're looking. Exactly. It, to me, it was scripted.
No,
in a sense,
no. I mean, the sheriff said what she was supposed to say
And for both sides, for both families. They cried together. They prayed together. But she didn't throw her officer out to the wolves, her deputy, and she condemned the family.
True. She didn't throw her officer out and to the wolves, because I'm pretty sure some of the media were asking certain questions or wanted to ask certain questions, and she was not going to give any answers, because the questions which the family had, I'm not going to say that the family asked this minister to speak, but he spoke, and he asked those questions. Was there sirens on? Where is the footage of the dash cam? Or whatever. And I'm sorry, I'm not saying, I think he was saying that when the sirens come on, the dash cam are supposed to be linked, not the body cam. So once they that's supposed to be linked.
Yeah, you've answered that question. There were no, and this is my opinion, there were no sirens or blue lights, because the dash cam would have came on when they were activated. There was no sirens or blue lights.
Yeah, I said body cam.
Because it was not what we call a code 3 or a code 4 emergency, to where we have to activate that to get there. So there's no rush to get there. What they're going to look at is the speed of both vehicles upon collision. What speed was she going to a non-priority call to where she ended up T-boning that other car? That's what they're going to look at.
True. And I'm waiting to see that. I'm waiting to see that. And it could have been, and I'm not saying it is or isn't, it could have been where the victims might have ran a light. I don't know. We don't know. But I'm waiting to see about that. Now, we only got a little bit of time left, and I just want to touch on this real quick. I'm sure you guys heard about the lacrosse team that was stopped here in Georgia for the fact that the bus driver made a traffic infraction. He was in the fast lane. According to, they say, in Georgia law, any six-wheeled vehicle cannot be in the fast lane that he, you know what I'm talking about. Has to be in the slower lanes. This particular bus driver was in the fast lane. They got pulled over, and the cops went to searching the bus for drugs. How do you go from a traffic violation to searching an entire bus for drugs? Was this, Janet, you and I talked about it, was this them hoping that they will find something? Because if you watch the video, these are all women on this team. They got a bunch of luggage underneath the bus. And the video shows, and you hear the officer says, well, might be some weed on that, no, some marijuana on there. And they bring the dog out. The whole nine. The I believe it was the mayor, Janet, of the town claims that their stuff was not searched. But the video shows, yes, it was. They searched the hell out of some of that stuff. He lied. And he's black. And this is a black college. And now the college is filing a lawsuit, which is, again, taxpayers' money. Anytime the police do anything illegal, you should know there's going to be a lawsuit. And it's going to come out of your taxpayers' dollars. And no one is stopping the stuff. What's your thoughts about that story, Janet?
Well, I'm just waiting to see what the outcome of the lawsuit has, you know, what it reveals. I don't like the fact that it was a black college. And just because it was a black college on the school bus, that they decided they had to search it, you know. Like they were thugs or something. That to me don't make any sense. I guess also because they were from out of town, you know, because
right.
this happened in the
And this is a historical black college, right?
Right.
Rank as one. All females, young. And In fact, they even went into a bag and found a package, which was a gift that one of the students got from her grandmother. She hadn't even opened it. But the way it's wrapped, they thought it might be drugs. And they actually went to her and said, "But do you know what's in here?" And she says, "No, my grandmother gave it to me, and I just decided not to open it until I got home." The officer still opened it, not in front of her. He said, "But I'll wrap it back up. Do you want to know what it is? I won't tell you, but I'll wrap it up so it'll still be a surprise to you when you get home." You violating my shit at this point in time. But we're going to get into that conversation. We're going to continue that story next week and look into that a little bit deeper. Before we get out of here, I want to thank Time and Ship, Officer Crenshaw, and Victor, of course, and my right hand, Janet Davis, for chiming into the show today, and everybody else that's been listening to the show here on the TMGS. Don't forget, coming up next month, a new show is going to be joining the lineup called Let's Talk About It, hosted by Cotton Campbell and her crew, three beautiful and very intelligent and interesting young ladies will be her co-hosts, Thursday nights at 7 p.m. here on the TMGN. We are going to be having a new logo for the network, and a lot of different changes are coming this way, okay? And next Saturday, when I talk to you, I'm going to be sharing with you about an event that's going to be happening this coming Thursday night. I just got invited to a great event called the Black Music Honors, which is going to happen this Thursday night, recorded, and then it's going to be aired on Bounce TV in June. So you guys make sure you check it out when it airs. Well, I'll be with you next Saturday to let you know how it was, but I'm honored to be invited to go to the event this coming Thursday. Again, thanks for joining the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, all my co-hosts, all you fans, all you listeners. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we will see you next Saturday here on the air. Janet, thank you. Timon, thank you. Officer Crenshaw, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any last words, though, before I put on the closing music?
Janet, did you approve of me this week?
Yes, Officer Crenshaw, I approve. I approve. As
okay,
usual.
Thanks.
I don't know where you got that from, but it didn't come from me.
It was Cotton.
I thought Cotton was going to be in June.
Yeah, I'm sorry, June. Yeah, June the 26th.
Yeah,
yep.
but you said,
okay.
I thought you said next week. Thank you.